Now, there's a couple of things I want to do before I read my text. The first one is one that I think is very necessary, and that is just this, that on behalf of all of us who are visitors here, I think it's just an appropriate thing to thank the Assembly in Jackson for holding a conference like this, for your exercise in hearing the Word of God and creating a venue where it can be spoken and listened to. The meals have been excellent. The hospitality has been great, and the friendships that we've enjoyed for many, many years are enduring, and I just want to say thank you, and so I did. Second thing is, I really appreciated Brother Max's prayer, because there's something, and I'm going to try and hold myself together here for a minute. I've been going to conferences for almost 50 years. And there have been some constants for most of those 50 years. One of them was that Brother Norman Crawford could be counted on to give ministry about the local assembly. And I don't think that I would be exaggerating one little bit to say that there are many of us here today whose lives were transformed by that sort of ministry. The second man, and you'll see where I'm going in just a second with this, was Mr. Harold Paisley. I cannot remember a conference where Mr. Paisley did not bring us a message about the Lord Jesus. And I'm no Mr. Paisley, but I want to speak about him this afternoon. And I hope you'll appreciate that what we're doing, it really stands in a line of a good tradition. We have people telling us about what's wrong with tradition. I want to tell you it's a good tradition on a Sunday afternoon just to speak about him. I want to read just a couple of verses with you in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. And I have a number of other texts that I'm going to quote or read from throughout my message, but just very simply want to begin with this. Luke chapter 9 and beginning at verse number 18. Luke chapter 9 and verse 18, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye? Who do you say that I am?" Peter answering said, perhaps the finest thing that has ever been said by a human being. Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." I have four little things that I want to touch on this afternoon, and I know that we are trying to be efficient with the time, and I intend to close right on time and share the time fairly with my brethren. But I'd like to speak just about four things this afternoon, and I don't think anything here is going to be new. This is just going to be a reminder of truth that you and I are likely already familiar with. I want to talk, first of all, about the delight of pondering his person. We have become experts in technology. We've become experts in our field of education. There's so many things that fill our little brains today. But I want to argue right at the very beginning of my message that there is no delight to equal the delight of spending time thinking about him. I want to spend a few minutes talking about the danger of perverting his person. Because I believe that with our electronic age, every ancient error is now in our immediate presence. And the danger is that people unwittingly, I don't think there's anybody here that's going to go search for errors about Christ. I don't believe that will happen. But I'm going to argue that there are errors about Christ that are so easily acquired that I want to just give a little gentle, friendly, fatherly word of warning that you be careful what you take in about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want to speak about the doctrines that present his person, because the alternative is this, that you can, from his word, learn the essential truths of Christ. And not only learn them from his word, but learn them by walking with him day by day. Not only propositionally, but to learn him devotionally and experimentally as we live with the Lord Jesus. And last of all, I'd like to just say a word in closing about the devotion that is produced as we become acquainted with his person. So let me begin with this idea of the delight of pondering him. I think I can say without one trace of hesitation that the person of Christ is the loftiest theme and the most thrilling subject that the human heart can contemplate. The words of Thomas Kelly, the great Irish hymn writer, come to my mind very often. No subject so glorious as he, no theme so affecting to us. And just because I try to be a good gospel preacher, I'm going to say this. If the Lord Jesus isn't the most attractive theme to your heart, then I hope today that you'll be restored to him. And if it seems to you that no restoration will bring him any dearer, then maybe you ought to examine the foundation. Because every true child of God is in some measure a lover of the Lord Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to speak about him, because we cannot exaggerate his greatness. We cannot know too much about him. You know, in many things, I suppose, if you apply yourself, you could really master the knowledge of some particular subject. But the subject of the person of Christ is an ocean into which the believer gladly plunges. In it, we find a vast reservoir of delight. I think Samuel Stennett was pitch perfect. No mortal can with him compare. Among the sons of men, fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. You know, this really underlines the great necessity of teaching about the person of Christ. You know, I am so thankful that I have grown up in a local assembly. I'm not going to skirt around the issue and pretend that, you know, I could have grown up in any number of places, and I'm not here to criticize anybody else or to criticize what anybody else does. It's none of my business, and I'm not going to even go there. But I'm grateful to have grown up among people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and have boldly proclaimed the excellencies of his person. Can I speak to my peers just for a minute? We have a tremendous responsibility at this stage in life to make sure that following generations are taught the doctrines of Christ. I don't believe in this idea that Christianity is absorbed by, you know, just somehow by osmosis. The great truths of Christ are taught, and they are taught carefully and diligently and systematically. And I really don't care how many people say, well, you know, brother, you've gone over that before. Listen, you can't go over the truth of the person of Christ too many times. You know, seminaries are full of nice men who can write lengthy dissertations on the technicalities of theology. But I tell you, we need people who can do more than just transmit information. We need people who are living daily in a relationship with him and can personally convey to our hearts the delights of living and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to do that. There is as I have said, a great ocean of things to talk about him. You know, to us who believe in him, he is extraordinarily precious. To us, for example, we are awed by what he was and is in his unoriginated deity. He is the eternal Son. We could well spend the balance of the day simply speaking about the eternal sonship of Christ. And so we are awed by who he is. We are astonished by what he became in his unspeakable grace. That is, he has entered in a sinless way into manhood, and he has become like his brethren